a really good chance that you're going to be following the Lord. You're going to be serving the Lord. But you get away from that, you never know who you're going to be serving. You know who you're going to be serving. You're going to be serving Satan. People are looking for someone to lead them. They're just looking for it. You get around them, if it's a popular singer or a sports person, a sports team, you go to those Raider 49er games and you see these young, strong guys, usually in their 20s, big guys. Some will be wearing Raider shirts, some will be wearing 49er shirts. And occasionally, in a close game, they'll bump into each other and they start fighting. It's like, I'm a Raider fan and you're a Niner fan, and they come to the point of fighting over that. Because they're serving that. They believe in fighting. They're proving their allegiance to their teams. They're proving that they're worthy to follow. And that's sort of the mantra of the United States, of the world, is you look for somebody to follow and you can gain power by following them. You want to be able to trust somebody who you lead. And it's amazing when you see somebody who's a leader and they fall into sin or their sin is exposed, how people just attack them. They attack them like a wolf would attack a wounded wolf. You know, all the wolves are together attacking somebody, and as soon as one gets wounded, the other ones eat it. They tear it apart and eat it. As soon as it shows weakness. It's so contrary to what it is in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we're sort of called to serve one another. Amen to that? Where in the world, we want to be leaders, and in the kingdom, we're chosen to serve. So, who's in charge of the kingdoms of the world? In Matthew 4, 8, and 9, Satan has it. He promises to Jesus, follow me and I'll give you all these kingdoms belong to me. All the kingdoms belong. I heard a pastor say since Trump was elected president, he said that some prophetic person that he really respected said, what you're going to see now is in the heavenlies, because he was believing that God wanted Trump to be president. And he says, you're going to see a shaking going on in the heavenlies because the angels that were controlling the government before are going to be shaken and there's going to be a battle. And you're going to see it. And you sort of see it in the fact that it's just nobody can agree. The people that seem to be going straight or just either resigning or quitting. And I don't want to get into politics, but there's something going on in the world. Okay, I'm getting off my subject here. I've got this. There's a missionary that came from South America here last week, and he preached and he brought all this coffee, this exotic coffees from around the world. And I've got the one here, the $22 a pound coffee, but it's really good. It's a mixture. I think it's of four different coffees. That's really good. Really good. Really good. So in Isaiah 49:5, put that up there, please, Rogelio. Isaiah 49:5. Let's get into this. You got to serve somebody. You're going to serve Jesus. You're going to serve Satan. And Isaiah writes, and now says the Lord, Jesus, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. So this is Jesus. This has been prophesied about Jesus before he arrives, that he is going to be the one of the Lord. And it says, we know the story of him and his birth and everything, and then finally when he's 30 years old, he's called into ministry. He's called to come into the service. And it says he returned from the desert, because he went to the desert, fasted for 40 days. He was tempted by Satan. He used the word of God to rebuke all of the tempts, the temptations. And he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was preaching the gospel in Mark 1:15. It says he came preaching the gospel. and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. I got to tell you something. When I first became a Christian, the first question I had this dramatic experience. I've shared it. I went to a conference down in La Jolla. And while I was there, I was asking people, this one guy, he was like a youth minister, and he was surrounded by these people asking him questions. And he had a reputation, and he deserved it. And I kept asking, what do you say to people so that they become Christians? I wanted to know, what do you say to people that they become Christians? This is not easy. And he kept giving, I finally was able to ask him that question because other people were asking that question. And he told me about how they drive around and they pick up hitchhikers and stuff like that. This is back in Southern California 30 years ago. People used to hitchhike. And then they would talk to him about Jesus. But it didn't really answer my question. What is the gospel message? I found out I had to learn about the gospel message. I read it. They said, well, you know, Jesus came. Does anybody know John 3:16? Anybody want to say it? Who'll say it? Anybody? This is the gospel message. This is what you tell people so they receive Jesus. It's almost like, well, yeah. And I heard that so many times, and I didn't know who Jesus was. I wasn't saved. I knew that. I learned that when I was a little kid going to Sunday school. I could say it. I meet people that have been going to church their whole life. They still don't know who he is. They still don't know who they're serving. They don't know who they're serving. That's the gospel message, and it's supposed to set us free. Well, I asked the Lord, I said, you're going to have to show this to me, because I didn't really feel that I was free in the gospel message. I heard the gospel message, but it didn't make sense to me. I heard it, but I didn't know what it was. So it's the kind of thing that you sort of have to I lived it out. I lived out the gospel message. And there's a part of us are in the midst of living this out. The gospel message. Yesterday, one of the teachers yesterday was talking about repentance, right? As you go along one way, and to repent means to turn around and go back to go a different way. So I'm thinking, okay, before I knew Jesus Christ, I walked in this way. I walked in my own strength. I walked in my own fears, whatever it was, the best way I knew to get ahead. I was actually following Satan, telling you can do this, Robert. You can do this. Don't trust that person. Don't do this. Don't do that. You can get away with this. You can get away with that. You can make these people follow you. You can make them come into your bar and get them drunk. So then they get so drunk they can't go home. Then their wives get mad at them. And then they get divorces. I mean, I saw that happen over and over as a bartender in a single bar. That kind of thing. So when you repent, you turn and you go the other direction. You walk back. And how you walk is you walk with the faith in Jesus Christ. That your sins have been forgiven. Amen? That you're no longer a sinner. That every sin you're going to sin in the past, every sin of today, every sin of tomorrow has been forgiven. When you walk in that way. And you know what happens as you walk that way? Satan's all the way is telling you, you're not good enough to do this. You can't do it. You're not good enough. Your husband's got a demon. You know, whatever it is. I mean, I've heard that one before. That the person that you're with is not suited for you. That you're the one. Or something to corrupt that. That you find yourself not believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and it's your responsibility to behave in a certain way that you'll be accepted by God. That if I be this, if I can do that, that being a Christian is all about changing your behavior and behaving in a certain way, when the reality is being a Christian means you have a relationship with God the Father. It's all about relationship. It's all about being loved. Being unconditionally loved. And those of us that are married, wouldn't it really be great if your mate loved you unconditionally? They'd give you everything. Everything that you wanted to do, they would agree with you all the time. What TV shows to watch, when to go to bed, when to get up, whatever to do this. Whatever it is. When to walk the dog, when not to walk the dog. When to go to a sporting event, when not to go to a sporting event. Wouldn't it be great to be able to sit home and watch the NBA playoffs without having to go to your buddy's house? Because the wives don't want to watch it. But it is that. It's that unconditional love we have with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's my question. What is the gospel? And as I found it out, I know what the gospel message is now. I know exactly. I talk about it. You'd be surprised how many arguments I get with religious people about Jesus Christ and about what it is and about what our responsibilities are. Some people still think that, no, we have to do this and do that in order to have a relationship with God. In order to go to heaven, we have to be able to behave right. Our behavior is based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of us are going to behave differently. I have to tell you, when I first thought about speaking today about who you're going to serve, I was going to talk about Pastor Joseph and myself. I was going to talk about how... Actually, I'm not a perfect leader. I'm not a perfect servant. I'm not a perfect pastor. Pastor Joseph is not a perfect pastor. He's not a perfect leader, perfect servant. But together, we make one strong team. When Joseph and I minister together and we argue, we clash heads, and I learn things by listening to him, what he has to say. Hopefully he learns something from me, because I respect him and I love this man. And I feel that he honors me and loves me as well. So it's between us, I think we're a strong foundation. We're a strong foundation for here because God wants us here. He wants you here. He's been training and preparing you to be here for what's coming ahead. And sometimes we wonder, well, I don't know. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. What do you mean? We got a great family here. That's one thing I got here. I can't believe the love you have for one another, the support you have for one another. Man, I've been in groups of nothing like this. I remember when I had my bar, and I was like following Satan, and I had all these people adoring me, wanting to buy me drinks and stuff. And then came a day I had to move, and all these people said they would help me move. Nobody showed up. One guy. One guy showed up, and he was the last guy I would think would come. And all the other people that would talk, they didn't show. But in this place, in this group, you guys support one another. God is here. He's supporting it. You serve one another. Amen to that? One thing I was going to say about myself is that after I became a Christian, I was trying to live out the gospel. And as the Lord led me, there's more than one time when I heard this. And this is something you want to hear. JJ, you want to hear this. You want to hear this, brother. Somebody's going to look at you and you're going to talk to them about your relationship. He's listening. You're going to talk about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what they're going to say to you? You're a different kind of Christian. You are a different kind of Christian. I thought Christians were judgmental. I thought Christians did good all the time. I thought Christians were perfect. When I heard that, the first time I heard that, I said, wow, I must be doing something right. Because I was in a party in Berkeley talking to these Berkeley people. And I just started, she asked me a question about what I did. And I said, oh, I'm a man of God. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I had a glass of wine in my hand and the place was jammed. That's good, Dan. Remember this. The place was jammed. And for the next hour and a half, I talked to her about what God had done in my life. She brought her husband, and they'd been transferred from the East Coast to San Francisco. And just talking about it. And she said, you're really a different kind of Christian. Because she was hearing my testimony. She was hearing about what Jesus Christ done in my life. She heard about the mistakes that I had made. And the things I struggle with now, but I was confident in one thing. I'm confident in my relationship with God the Father. As everybody in this congregation should be sure, we're not doing our job if you guys aren't confident in who you are in Jesus Christ. I'm a failure if you don't know that you've been forgiven. Everything has been forgiven. We're called to do one thing, is to know how much God loves us through His Son, Jesus Christ, so we can love others. Because Satan's going to do the opposite. He's going to have you blame your spouse or your friend or somebody else, your boss or somebody for what's going on in your life or somebody. And the people that are serving you, if you happen to be a boss, you're going to hear criticism. Because they're following the wrong God. And when you start finding fault, you're following the wrong person. You're following the wrong spirit. And that's what I was going to talk about. That spirit, sort of like, what's happened? What's happened? Our leader, there's no leadership here. Somebody told me that. They said, well, there are people in here seeking leadership. I said, well, I'm a leader. Yeah, but they want... I said, well, I'm following what God is telling me. I see these people are leadered out. They've been doing so many things for so long, and the Lord says they want them to rest. The term that I said was that they've been horses that have been run too hard, and they've been put away cold, been put away wet. When you have a horse, you wipe it down at the end and you make it comfortable. But one thing about doing that, it sort of takes out the weak. The strong remain. The tougher the challenge, the stronger you become. If you're able to endure it. Some people can't. Some people turned and walked away. They walked away from Jesus when he gave them certain teachings that they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand it in their mind. So if they couldn't understand it in their mind, they left. Well, we're called to listen with our hearts. Amen? So Jesus came out of the wilderness, preaching the gospel. He came to the disciples, said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They did that. He went to the temple. He declared who he was. And they're saying, who is this guy? He's a fisherman. Man, this guy is wise. Where did the wisdom he attained? Because he knew who he was. He'd been baptized. He resisted Satan. Because Satan was trying to get him to follow him. And that's the call for us. Are we going to follow God or follow the world? Are we going to seek for ourselves? Or are we going to seek to be loved by the Lord? As I was reading the scripture, I came about in Mark 3:21. Basically, it's the scripture that got my attention. It's the scripture that made me question myself. As I was watching TV really late, watching Doc Scott on television, after the bars had been closed and stuff, I happened to be by myself, laying in bed. It's probably 4 o'clock in the morning, and here's this preacher on smoking a cigarette. No, he's smoking a cigar and talking about God. And a lot of people said, man, I don't know about this guy. He's a smoker and all this stuff, and how can he be a Christian? But I talked to people in the bar. We liked to watch him because he played the saxophone too. Anyway, in the scripture, he's talking in Luke. Do you have it there? Or Mark. Mark 3, 21 to 28. Maybe I got the wrong scripture. I know the story. Jesus is in the temple, and while he's there, there's a guy in there that's been there all the time. This guy is a regular at church. You've seen him all the time, always dressed really nice, coming in, always saying these and thous, very polite, always putting the offering he come by, always putting his $2 in there, and it just keeps going on around. And all of a sudden, he saw Jesus in there, and he says, this demon manifests on him. Jesus! That's exactly the words he said. I don't know if he called him Jesus, but he identified him as the Son of God. What have you come to do? Have you come to cast me into hell? And he's identifying Jesus who he is, and Jesus tells him, quiet. Don't speak. And the guy just clapped on the ground. This is my own words. You can read this scripture. It's a much better story, but I'm not going to draw it out. But the guy who's been in the church all the time, there's a demon within him. And that was the question I had as I watched this. I said, maybe there's a demon inside me. Here I am thinking I'm going to go to church all the time. I'm living the life of a wanton person, breaking all the commandments, but thinking I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to heaven, thinking I'm going to go to heaven. When all of a sudden, I thought maybe I'm not going to heaven. That doubt caused me to seek the Lord. That doubt caused me to seek deeply, am I going to go to heaven? And it's a question many of you people in here, especially the youth, I know have this. I can tell them right now, Natalie, you're going to heaven. These three guys in the back there, you guys are all going to heaven. Natalie, what's the name of that girl sitting next to you? The dancer? You're going to heaven. So never question it. Know you're going to heaven. Live your lives as people who are going to go to heaven. Jesus Christ has died for me. I'm going to live a life as a free woman. I'm going to live a life as a free man. That's the promise for all of us. Amen? Amen. We don't have to earn our way. As long as we have the faith of a seed, it's going to grow. It'll grow in your faith that you're going to go to heaven. And as I saw this thing, I got really passionate in my prayer. It wasn't just a casual prayer. Okay, Lord, show me if I'm going to go to heaven. Oh, Lord, I want you to heal this person. Oh, Lord, do this and that. Oh, Lord, get me seats at the game or something. No, this was, God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Help me. I thought I was going to go to heaven. Maybe there's a demon inside me that keeps messing up my life as I'm trying to do right things and I can't do it. So maybe this is demon. If there's a demon in me, I'm going to go to hell. I cried out. I'll tell you one thing. I was going to go to heaven anyway because I'd already made a commitment with Jesus Christ. That demon wasn't going. I was packing that demon. The demon had a door in my life because of my lack of my relationship with the Father. So there was this part of me not that I didn't think I was good enough to be a Christian. At the same time, I knew that I love God, and I think that I believe He loved me. And that demon took that opportunity to get in and change my life. I think I've told this story before, but a few nights later, I had a dream. In the dream, there's this door, and I opened this door, and there, standing where Ricky is, was this guy all dressed in clothes of that time, the time of Christ, Arab clothes, I call them. And off of him was all of this radiation energy was just coming off him. And when I saw him, there was fear went in front of, like, oh, my God. And that fast, he was across the room, and he put his arms around me, and he hugged me. And I was able to see it from the side. I saw him hugging me. He was a little bit shorter than me, a little heavier than me. And he had long arms, and he had his arms all around me. And when I saw that, there's a peace that went inside me. When I woke up, I was a different guy. I was a different person. I have to say, within the next 3 months, I'd become a Christian. Healed of cancer, changed my lifestyle, became a Christian. Because I sought Him, and I found out that He was there to serve me. And Jesus performed many miracles after this. He's going along, He's been on... This is the good part. Jesus is out performing miracles. And you know what the religious people said when they came up to him? The Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priests. You know what they said about Jesus? He's from Satan. Jesus is from Satan. Because he's not like us. He's not keeping the rules that we kept. It started out with 10 commandments. By the time they got to these guys, there was, I don't know how many hundred commandments they were. And as I read that, you know, if you make enough rules for people, it makes your position as an authority even stronger. I'll be a stronger leader if you have to do this, 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 and this, and this. So when you make all these rules, it sort of like guarantees the fact that you get to be the leader and keep these people as your followers. You get to hold them down as your followers. And that's sort of the theme of what I'm talking about today. For Pastor Joseph and myself and our leadership here, we're calling you guys to lead. You're leaders. And you lead by serving. You don't have to put yourself up and say, look at me, follow me. Well, praise God. My button came off my jacket. Whenever the man's humbled, you know that the Holy Spirit is there. Hallelujah. It's the guarantee. Thank you, brother. It's the guarantee. The religious people were telling Jesus, He's from Satan. Okay, now how many people here believe that Jesus is from Satan? Think about it. If you believe that Jesus was from Satan, put your hand up. Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. How many believe that Jesus was sent from God the Father? Raise your hand. Okay. It's only about three people here. Not sure. Oh, I know. They were fearful of losing their power over people. Satan wants to lead everyone into hell. He wants you to follow him and lead you into hell. Okay, so the question for us is, whom am I going to serve? Whom are you going to serve? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Was Jesus a leader of men? Yes. How did he lead? In Matthew 20, 28. In Matthew 20, 28, which is our theme scripture today, Jesus is asked, they assumed he's a leader. He must be a leader. His disciples wanted to lead him, to have them lead them to get the Romans out of Israel. 20, 20, yeah. Just as this is Jesus speaking, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So he did that. Jesus was a servant. He came to be a servant. He didn't come to be served. And it set his life as a ransom for many. At the Last Supper, there's an example, John 13, 4, and 5. Anyway, I think it's on there. Yeah, Jesus got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So that's the act of a servant. That's what Jesus came to do. You know something? There must be a lack of leadership in this church. So forgive us if we're not providing the leadership. I mean, it's tough to get people to come and help to put paper towels in. Ask a few guys, a few of the young men in the Mandarin service, everybody's too busy, or they don't want to, well, I'm not sure if I want to do this or what. I don't want to have somebody tell me what I have to do. I don't know if I want to serve. Well, maybe we're not modeling good enough servant leadership for you. I found it in here this morning. I wasn't sure who was going to do the communion. There was Rogelio's daughters over there and Christina. They were all doing the communion, putting it together. David wasn't here, but people ready to step in. There's something that's happening here. Praise the Lord. Amen to that? And there's a couple of guys in here I respect. Patrick, I talked to Patrick one day, and the Lord has called him. Patrick's got a good job. He's got a good retirement coming. He's worked really hard. And the Lord has him over here at Great Commission Church. He's babysitting. He's cleaning toilets, putting into all these things. And he does it because the Lord told him to do it. It's not like, why should I be doing this? I'm an older man. People should be doing it for me. No, somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to. You got to serve somebody. You can serve yourself and say, well, I shouldn't have to do that, or it's too much of imposition on me, or I've done too much already. How come? You got to just keep serving. And if you got the Lord Jesus Christ and he's your model to be a servant, as you serve, it makes you feel good. In fact, that's the criticism. Not that I'm the big servant, but I'm so involved with serving different things that I have no time for myself. But when I have time for myself, what do? Spider solitaire? I don't know. Watch TV or something? I enjoy serving. I enjoy going around and hearing about Jesus Christ or speaking about Jesus or meeting other Christians. Rogelio's another servant here. Every time the alarm goes off or something's wrong, Rogelio's here. He's always putting light bulbs in or doing something. I'm just using these two men as servants. Everybody serves. Ricky serves and Dan serves. I'm just acknowledging the men. Luke serves. Hallelujah. Scott serves. Yeah, hallelujah. Serving. So what we're going to do is... I'm waiting for something. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. So I'm just going to jump to Jesus commissions us as his servants. In Matthew 28, 18 and 20, Jesus Christ has been leading these guys for 3 years. They've been ups and downs, going around, different things. They've seen miracles. They've been failures. Some had been betrayed him. Some had lied about him. His whole group had just fractured and fallen apart. But when they found out he was alive, they rallied. They came back. Only two had fallen away. One was repentant, and the other one killed himself. But when they found out he was alive, they found him. He was alive. And other people saw him. I talked to my brother about this. How many people were at the training yesterday? Remember that little book they gave you, the wordless book? They have a wordless book that they give you. They teach it to young people so that you can witness to your friends. You give them the book, and each page is a different color. You got the gold page, which talks about God and his holiness. And then you got the dark page that talks about our sins, what separates us. Then it has the red page, which talks about Jesus and the blood. Then it has the white page that shows about how we've been, our clean page, excuse me, that shows that our sins have been cleaned away from us. Then you have the green page, which shows that our growth. So my stepbrother's dying. I've talked to him a little bit about Jesus and stuff. He was raised a Catholic, so I go yesterday to visit him. I give him the book, and I show it to him. He looks at it, and he says, he opened it up and he says, no, there's something on these pages. There's something. He was looking for something on the pages. They're blank pages, but he's feeling something's been engraved on here. And then I says, okay, let me tell you about this. He says, oh, you already showed me this book. I said, what? Because when we were here for the earlier training, he was in the hospital at Kaiser Oakland. So I went up to see him, and I forgot that I'd showed him the pages. And so he dismissed it. I told him the whole thing about Jesus. Nah, it doesn't make any sense. He's hearing the gospel message, but he's heard it before. And he doesn't really know. He doesn't know who Jesus is. He was raised as a Catholic. He left the church after the eighth grade. He says, all they want is your money. And the thing about him is that he's very stingy when it comes to money as well. And so I got him to the part where he would admit that he was a sinner. But I couldn't get him the rest of the way. I talked to him about it. Yeah, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm talking about Jesus Christ dying for your sins, and it's just going, he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that the new life that he has. So I just prayed. He let me see. He likes my prayers. I prayed for him. I'm going to go back and see him today. Maybe the Lord will give me the words. Somehow open the door that he will know who he is in Christ Jesus and who Christ Jesus is in him. His wife thinks we're going to get some other kind of thing and have his heart rebuilt and all this. He's in his last few days. He's going to die. I'm looking. He can hardly breathe at times. And those of us that have been with people dying, you just sort of see how they are when they're dying. So I have to pray. You have to pray for me that when I go to see him, that I can serve him enough. I've tried to sort of like push him into making him realize what his sins are. No, he doesn't see them at all. You have to be really careful. Well, you're a sinner. You did this. I remember you did that. You dishonored your mother. You did. No, he doesn't want to hear that. He's got all these lies in his mind. No, I didn't do that. So I'm trying to love him into the kingdom here. It's in that. But my desire for everybody in this room, but any time that I'm here, is to know that we have been totally forgiven. It's a done deal. That Jesus Christ lives in our life. that our sins of yesterday, today, and tomorrow are forgiven. You cannot out-sin the forgiveness of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So therefore, we're free to love and forgive one another. We're free to love the people that are going to be coming in here. We're free to minister one another. We're free to serve one another. To serve one another. And you think about Jesus. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve one another. And people followed Him. When he came into Jerusalem on that last weekend, thousands of people gave Him hosannas as He came in. They honored Him. And He didn't want to be a leader. He wanted to be a servant. And some of us have doubts that we're good servants. You are good servants. In your jobs, you're good servants. You're good workers. Yeah, but my boss, forget some of those people, what they say or something. And the enemy is saying, you're not good enough. You got to do better. You got to do better. You got to do better. You're not good enough. This person doesn't like you. That's the enemy. God loves us, right? Amen? God's in charge of our lives. He's going to give us everything that we need. He's going to give us favor when we need it. He's going to give us love when we need it. He leads us in the right direction. So what I'm going to say, a quick prayer, then I'm going to invite Pastor Joseph to come in and act as Jesus did. But everybody stand up, please. Lord Jesus, we just praise Your name, Father. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for the gift of life that You've given us, Father. We thank You, Lord, that You have set us free. As we've decided to follow You, Lord, we've taken up our cross, despising the shame of the things we've done before, and we rejoice that Jesus, You're sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Lord, I ask for my brothers and sisters that we would now receive the commission to serve You. That through the blood that you shed for us, Father, we are free of all of the conditions of the world. We walk as free men and women, able to talk about what You've done in our lives, to know that we're different than the world, and people will see that difference. I thank You for my brothers and my sisters. I thank You for this church family. I thank You for the leadership You provide, Pastor Joseph, and the other leaders in this church. Thank You for the gift of worship, Father. A servant is free. I think one of the definitions of servant is one who's free to give thanksgiving and praise. We thank You, Lord, and we praise Your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Pastor Joseph, would you come and...
You may be seated. I'd like to read a scripture. Matthew chapter... Yes, please. How about let's read together before we have the Holy Communion. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, and He was asking His disciples, and they say, some say John the Baptist, and the others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but what do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Okay, thank you. That's, we just read until there. Okay. I appreciate Pastor Robert shared the message with us. So I want to ask you, who do you serve? Jesus. Wow. Christ. I know, but that's not easy. When you say that, they need to back out with a lot of reality, right? I think I'd like to continue this when we take the bread and cup. I really want you to ask the Spirit to reveal to you, who do you serve really in your life? You know, there's no doubt the Lord loves us, right? He gave us His life this Holy Communion really to remind us what He has done for us, right? Each one of us. I think Pastor Robert has a mission. I listen to his message, his testimony all the time. He tried to share that he has been forgiven, Robert the Redeemed. And that forgiveness is real. We have no doubt about that. But we need to experience that forgiveness. How do you know you experience God's forgiveness? As you respond, the consequence is your soul love with Him. Amen? Then you start to serve Him. I want to encourage you and particularly think about, you know, sometimes, you know, we, as a believer, it's a journey. There's a lot of things God deal with us. We need to die to ourselves, the old self. A lot of Christians, a lot of followers of Jesus, they fall into the temptation of self-serving, okay? Self-serving. That's a very tough to discern that. A lot of people are so zealous for the Lord, you know, sacrifice so much. But ultimately, to serve the self. How do you know you serve the Lord? When the thing doesn't go your way, you'll easily be offended. Amen? When the thing doesn't go your way, you'll easily be offended. A lot of time we follow the Lord. We pray to the Lord about this and that. But when the thing doesn't go your way, you're so upset. Same thing in the church, in the ministry, in marriage. May the Lord help us. When Jesus asked people, who do you think I am, right? People, they all answer different. You're one of the prophets. You're Elijah. You're this and that. But Peter gave a wonderful answer. But because he has the Spirit of the Lord revealed to him, the Father revealed that to him. It's wonderful. You're Messiah, Son of God. Today we had that revelation too, right? He is Messiah, Son of God. If he's the Messiah, Son of God, we should serve him. And when we serve him, it's not easy. We need to serve him with all our heart, all my, all our soul, etc., etc. Also, Jesus said one time, he made a definition of disciple. If anyone wants to follow me, he should what? Lay down his life, bear the cross, and follow me daily. Wow, it's not easy. It's not easy to lay down our life. Do you mean, you say, Pedro, do you mean we die for him? Maybe literally. Maybe one day when the situation is so tough, the persecution comes. But sometimes even hard to die for him is lay down the old self. I appreciate many of you pray for me. I officially had sabbatical leave start from October 1st last year. And I conclude by March 31st. 2017. So yesterday I officially came back for that teacher training, but I already show up all this time, right? Because not up to me. Old timer, you know, passed away. You know, they contact me, but I appreciate all, many of you, your prayer, your care for me. You know, you wish you can see me, talk to me, but I think the best for me is let me alone, have time with the Lord. I receive a lot from the Lord. You know, I learn a lot. God Show many things to me. So I'm going to share with you. But don't be anxious and worry about your life. Don't be anxious, worry about this church. This church is God's church. If He is Messiah, Son of God, He owns this church. He will reveal to us what the next step. We are not just being here, being existing, to struggle. Only know God loved me. But we need to show we love God. Amen? There's many empty chairs here. That's an invitation for many people yet to come. How many of you believe that many people are coming? Well, we need to invite them. We need to do our part. We thank God for this Holy Communion. We really really thankful to Jesus. Without His sacrificial death, we cannot reconnect with God. Amen. We won't have eternal life. We are not just afraid to go to hell to believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus because he cares and loves us. Amen? And actually, the counselor, the psychologist, they study the people, you know, the way we are because our upbringing, your original family form who you are deeply. But we all come from a dysfunctional family. In strict sense, nobody's family is really functional, all dysfunctional one way or another. No perfect family. So our understanding of love is very limited, very finite. The true love defines 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but we cannot live up to that. Because we all love people out of our understanding, our love. But God's love is very different. And God's love shows in this Holy Communion. This bread referred to Jesus' body being sacrificed for each one of us. This cup referred to his blood being shed for each one of us. So I'd like to invite all of you who have received Jesus, our Savior and the Lord, being baptized to take this bread and cup. And before you take this, we need to examine ourselves. In any way we offend God, offend people, we need to ask him for forgiveness. Because we pray for this. This is sacred. This is not light thing we should take. Because the Bible says if you take this lightly, you don't examine yourself, you bring judgment on yourself. That's very serious. Amen? This is supposed to bless us. We don't want a judgment. We want God's blessing. So I'd like to invite all of you who have been baptized unto the name of Jesus Christ, join the church. You come forward, take the bread and cup, and back to your seat, you examine yourself. Ask Lord for forgiveness. Give thanks for his sacrificial death. How about let's start from the back. We line up, we come forward and take. Back to your seat. You may stand and pray and spend time with the Lord. Each person you pray to the Lord, you thank for the bread and cup, you ask for his forgiveness in any way you offend God and people, we ask for his cleansing before we take the bread and cup. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your agape love. We thank you for your forgiveness. In many ways, we offend you deeply. We offend people without knowing it. May you forgive us today before we take the bread and cup. May you help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. You help us to forgive others from the bottom of our heart and let go as you have set an example for us. We ask the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse each one of us so we can take this bread and cup in a worthy manner. Lord Jesus, as we take this bread and cup, may you continue to speak to us. To show your love to us. In a way we know how to truly serve you. Not self-serving. Not self-exalting. You help us, oh God. Prayer refer to the body of Jesus Christ being broken for each one of us. Through his brokenness we become whole. Let's take this bread together with thankful heart. Refer to the blood Jesus shed for each one of us. Through his blood we can be cleansed. Our sins can be forgiven and removed from us. Let's take this cup with thankful heart. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your redemption. Through your redemptive work, we become a new creation. We have new identity, new title. We are children of God being accepted unconditionally. Thank you, Lord. May the truth being shared today set us free. Free indeed to serve you wholeheartedly, to serve out of love.